The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Scooters are all over downtown and parts of San Antonio, but that also includes the middle of the sidewalks and blocking curb cuts. This is a hazard for those in mobility chairs and the visually impaired. So how can we fix this as a community? Can public awareness raising that, will that be enough? What other measures are needed? You can call in with your questions and comments as we talk about scooters and disability here in San Antonio. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined today with Deborah Charvin. She is the Accessibility Compliance Manager within the City of San Antonio's Transportation and Capital Improvements Department Disability Access Office. And Deborah, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
John Jax is here, Director of the City of San Antonio's Center City Development and Operations. And John Jax, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Melody Cawthon is here. She is a co-founder and executive director of Disability SA. Melanie, welcome back.
Thank you.
And also here today is Athalie Malone. She is the co-chair of the city's Disability Access Advisory Committee. And today she is speaking as a private citizen and as an activist and member of San Antonio's disability community. And Athalie, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Athalie, tell us, what do you see is the big problem here? What is the point of contention?
The major problem is the e-scooters, e-bikes are left, as was stated, in the middle of the sidewalks. There is no rhyme or reason to where they're put. They just lay them down wherever they stop or wherever they're through with them. And it becomes a hazard. Monday just passed, I had the unfortunate incident happen to me with one of these scooters near Main Plaza. It was not properly placed where it should have been, and I tripped over it. Yes, I use a white cane, but not all the time does the white cane pick up the entire scooter. So if you tap part of it, you move to the side where it's not being tapped, and that could be the part where you didn't feel, and that's what happened to me. And I went over the scooter, and I fell. Those in mobility chairs, they have the problem that the scooters are left in the cutaways. So they cannot cross the street. They can't get down the cutaways. There's no way for them to bend over and move them or whatever. It's just simply a common sense, common courtesy to put them either to the side or even create docking stations so that the sidewalk is clear for everyone. Very recently, the sidewalk is already crowded before these scooters with every kind of other obstacle there is. And now you have these that are placed all over the place.
And Athalie, when you fall, falling is not just falling for you. Since you can't see, you lose, it can be, I guess, it's scary.
Yes. In terms of Monday when I fell, it was straight down, but you also have the hazard of you don't know what's in front of you that you may fall into or what you may fall on. There may be another obstacle there. There may be a brick. It may be somebody left a broken bottle there or something. So you have no idea of what you're falling on or into.
Do you think people just aren't considerate? They just think, well, let's leave it here. Someone will pick it up or whatever. They don't thinking about how we have an assortment of people in our community who may not be able to navigate around these items.
In all honesty, I don't think they take anything. I guess they ride them, and when the charge runs out, they just stop and put them wherever. They don't really think about it. Because unfortunately, the majority of them that I see using it are between the 16 to 25. And they really don't think too much about what they're doing. I hate to say it.
John Jacks, the director of the City of San Antonio's Center of City Development and Operations. Right now, the City of San Antonio is looking to figure out where are we going with e-scooters, right?
Right. So we started last year when scooters were first introduced with a the policy we got from City Council was to start with a light regulatory approach. Because we really didn't understand them. They were new. They were new not just to San Antonio but nationwide. So we had a lot of learning to do to understand better the issues. So in the past year, we've worked closely to start refining how we regulate scooters. For example, just recently, City Council voted to prohibit sidewalk riding, so no riding on sidewalks. And that was out of a concern of conflicts with pedestrians. Making sure that that pedestrians are protected, particularly people with disabilities, when they're traversing the sidewalks. So what we're doing moving forward is we are going through an RFP process, a request for proposals, to narrow down the number of scooter companies to three. Currently today we have six companies operating in San Antonio, so we'll reduce that number to three and then also reduce the number of vehicles that are allowed in the city. Right now we have about 14,000 permits out there. Doesn't mean there's that many vehicles, but that's how many could be. So we'll be reducing that to 5,000 vehicles. And then also part of the RFP process, as part of that proposal, we'll be asking the companies to submit their plan to help address some of the things that we're talking about today. What are they doing to prevent parking in on the sidewalk, or particularly blocking the sidewalk? And that could be done through a number of different ways. We're looking for how will they incentivize people to do the right thing, and then how would they penalize people who maybe are leaving vehicles on a continual basis, blocking the right-of-way, blocking crosswalks, things like that.
So right now, today, though, what are the enforcement opportunities, options that are available to help people do the right thing?
Sure. So right now we focus very early on education, educating people about what are the rules, where should they park. We're continuing to do that. We are also, we have four employees who are focused on downtown, and they are out there correcting violations. So if they see a scooter that's blocking a crosswalk, they'll move it out of the way. So that's kind of proactively trying to address the problem. We constantly are in communications with the companies as far as deployment is concerned. We think that's an area where we really should have no problem, and that's working with the companies to make sure they're deploying them in a way that don't block the sidewalk. Understanding that there's also the issue of people who are using them, but trying to focus on good deployment, making sure that they're not blocking the sidewalk, and then getting the word out through education, through marketing campaign, to make sure that people understand the rules and they shouldn't block the sidewalks.
And still, with all that, we're having these issues today where we do have these items, these scooters either upright or toppled over
right
in the sidewalk, blocking the curb cuts. What does this mean? How can we move forward? It doesn't help San Antonio to make progress in an area of transportation if some people are going to be left behind. That's not progress. So how are we going to deal with that? How can we figure out that everyone is able to navigate San Antonio safely? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we're going to be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about those dockless e-scooters in San Antonio's community of folks who are disabled. How can we get along? How do we make sure that people who use e-scooters are using them responsibly and that they are not putting obstacles, dangerous hazards in the path of the folks who can't see or folks who are in mobility chairs, that they're not putting them in harm's way? How can we do this? The number is 210-614-8980. Melanie Coffin, co-founder and executive director of Disability SA. Sidewalk accessibility has long been something that's been fought for by the community, trying to get sidewalks wider, trying to get telephone poles out of the way, trying to get curb cuts so that everyone can use sidewalks. And now this happened. So what are your thoughts?
Yes. So with each advancement in technology or our culture or how things go, it just seems like we face a barrier, we remove that barrier, and then here comes another barrier.
Do you think there was an attitude by some that thought like, well, these are cool, we're going to use them, and if they block the sidewalk, you know, someone will figure it out?
No, I think that people don't think about blocking the sidewalk. Unless you need an accessible sidewalk, you're not thinking about it because it's easy for people who see and hear and have full mobility of their legs to walk around something, and it just is not a huge impediment for the average person. But when you have a loved one that has a disability and you're trying to push them around in a wheelchair or trying to, or you have friends that might be blind or who are deaf, having the scooters, it puts you in a different experiential position so that you're more aware of what's going on. And what we need to move our community towards is being aware of things, even if it's not our own personal experience, and taking consideration for people of all abilities. So whether we're on a scooter and you don't know who is in front of you who might be blind or who might be deaf, or the people who are using mobility devices to move around the city. And we just need to stop and think about other people when we're using these new technologies and moving our community forward in other ways.
Deborah Sharvin, put me in the chair of someone who has mobility issues, and they're on a sidewalk and they see this litter of scooters all the place. What's the logic? What's their algorithm going in their head? How am I going to deal with this crazy scene?
So I don't know that I can actually speak fully to the experience because I don't use a mobility device. But in talking with the community that does use mobility devices, they go through this moment of how am I going to get around? We already know that we have tons of obstacles in our sidewalks, whether it's another human being, whether it's a scooter. And so it makes it a little bit more difficult for them to get around. And so they sit there and they go, can I move the scooter myself? And some people can and some people can't.
But then they could topple over.
And sometimes they get toppled over just by wind. It's kind of one of those domino effects if you've got five or six in a row.
But if you're in a chair and mm-hmm. you have to like reach down to try and move a scooter mm-hmm. or you're going to try and snow plow through or whatever, these are options that are like not just very light and easy to pass through. It's like there's risk involved.
Yeah, there's risk, and it's all based on the user, because some of my friends would be able to pick up the scooter or go around with no problem, even using the mobility devices that they do. And some people that we've been told from the community, their stories and their experiences, that's not an option for them. And so we have to really think about all of the users as we do these conversations. And one of the things that our office is really working on doing is how can we talk to all of these startup companies, whether it is a scooter company, another type of micromobility company that's coming up, and how can we start to get accessibility and disability in their thinking from the very beginning? So accessibility is baked in to their plans, into their product, into their processes, because I think this is an unintended consequence that none of them thought about, and it's having some real serious effects on part of our community.
That's like the definition of inconsiderate, where you don't consider. And so that's what happened here. They didn't consider that there are other people in the world using these pathways, our public passages, the sidewalks, who don't have all of the privilege of being fully capable as everyone, you know. So we got to figure that out.
Yeah, and I think that Melanie is absolutely right, that it's all about your experiences. If you've never had anyone that had any type of disability or seen that disability struggle in action, it's just not something that comes to your forefront.
Well, if you had someone on staff who mm-hmm. had that experience, yes. then this would be part of the process.
Yeah, we highly recommend to a lot of companies that they have accessibility specialists or ADA specialists on staff, or contract with people who can think about these things from the very beginning.
All right, I'm going to go to the callers. The number is 210-614-8980. We welcome you into our conversation as we talk about navigating a future in San Antonio with e-scooters and having full, capable transportation options for our disability community. Let's go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say we should require the companies and the city to, you know, have designated spaces where you pick up and drop off. And that we should implement something, you know, for those scooters that are just left on other people's property, you know, like, you know, I'm looking into it too, being the person, you know, who comes and picks up those scooters, detains them, and until those companies pay the fine, you know, for those scooters being left on somebody's property, they don't get the scooters back.
And- All right, Jason, thank you for that. So let's go to John Jacks with the director of the City of San Antonio's Center City Development and Operations. So designated parking areas for dockless scooters.
So that's one of our big areas that we're looking at. We know that really fundamentally it's a parking problem or a lack of defined parking spaces. We have parking spaces for cars, so it's easy for someone to identify where to park. And we started doing that during the past year. We started creating not required parking spaces, but parking spaces designated places, so it made it easier for people to understand or know where they can park. Going forward, we'll be working with the three selected companies to identify not only designated parking spaces, but even more, better infrastructure like racks, things like that. So if we create those safe, if you will, safe parking spaces for them, the idea is to encourage people to use those and make them easy for them to identify. That way, when they get to their destination, instead of just leaving it parked on the sidewalk, if they see that there's space available, hopefully they'll use that. And then also work on ways with the companies to incentivize people to use those and then perhaps penalize them if they don't.
And using the GPS-type technology, you can identify who does which where?
That's kind of a nice thing is that the companies know who used them and who used them last. So if you have a person who's identified as constantly leaving things where they're not supposed to be, then the companies could perhaps do something for either penalize them or even maybe disable their account so they can't use it anymore.
So accountability can be baked into this.
Exactly. And that's really what we're doing with this RFP process is putting that responsibility on the three companies to think about this, for one, and then identify their solutions of how they're going to solve some of these issues.
So Atheline Malone, what's your reaction to that? What do you think about having a space to have a parking and also holding people accountable?
Yes. If the parking spaces are a very good idea, the racks, especially because they have e-bikes, and most bikes can't fit into these racks. Like I said, docking stations are one of the things that I call for. That is a good idea. The penalization, I do believe that yes, it would give incentive to a customer to do right. But at the same time, I would suggest if a company is one of the ones that is a major one, it's always their people to penalize the company itself, because then that would give a greater incentive to the company to make sure that their people are doing right and their customers are doing what they're supposed to do. And at the same time, you know, once you find a company, they find ways of getting things done correctly.
So it's going to be up to the city of San Antonio to hold, make sure the companies, because the companies, they want people to use their scooters as easily as possible. They're not in the business of trying to keep people from using their scooters. They want them to use them, but it's going to take the city requiring companies, correct me if I'm wrong, John Jacks, that's in order to make them, we can reach the equilibrium that we need in order so that we protect the rights of everyone on the sidewalks.
Right. I think it's correct. I think it's really two people. It's responsibility on the company to make sure that not only are they deploying these vehicles correctly, but also that the people using them are parking them correctly. Ultimately, it's their vehicle. When someone's using it, that agreement is with the company to use it. But then also it's imperative that the person using it also have some responsibility as well. And so I think that's why we're looking for an approach that puts some responsibility on the company, but also responsibility on who's using it.
Let's go to another caller. This is Jan. Hi, Jan. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I guess I'm sort of talking about the penalty. I've never ridden one of the scooters, but I'm assuming there's some way that they enter a credit card or something to identify themselves before they take the scooter. And I think there could be a notification that if the scooter has to be picked up off the sidewalk or, is not put back where it should be, then there's going to be an extra charge added to their bill.
All right, Jen, thank you for that. We also got a message from Michael on Twitter. Why can't fees be imposed for those riders who don't park in designated areas? Downtown is extremely cluttered with these scooters. I understand the convenience, but people have to be smarter and considerate of others. And so I'm going to go back to Melanie about, you know, the sidewalk is a precious space. And, you know, if we're talking about stations to park these things, that's probably going to be on sidewalks, right?
Yes, but there are some sidewalks that are wider than other sidewalks where utilities exist, right? Trash cans and things like that. And so scooters can be parked in designated areas where there is more space. So you may not get to get off your scooter right in front of the building where you're going. You may have to park it a little bit further up the block, but it's not going to impede somebody's access to being able to get down the street. And we need to stop looking at the very minimum standards that we can possibly apply to maybe make our city more accessible. We need to start looking at what is the best way we can accomplish these things to benefit the community as a whole. I think too many times we say, okay, what is the very least we can possibly get away with? And we really need to stretch ourselves and move our city to a place where we're saying, let's serve every person in this community in the best way we possibly can. And we've found time and time again that when we look at our community in that way, it actually benefits the community as a whole. You know, when we started doing curb cutouts, it not only benefited people who use mobility devices, but it benefited moms with strollers. It benefited people who needed to get a cart down the street. And we can do the same thing when we're looking at incorporating scooters into our community.
All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come back with some more callers and voicemails. If you want to join our conversation as we talk about the future of San Antonio with e-scooters and our community of disabled, how do we help them both coexist? Or do you think that e-scooters have just got to go entirely? You know, they're right now, people seem to like them. They're welcoming them. Where are we going in the future with this? Number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about e-scooters. You've probably seen them. Maybe you've ridden them. When you rode one, did you put it safely away in a nice off-to-the-side location, or did you just kind of dump it there in the middle of the sidewalk? Well, what's annoying for some, you know, walking around those scooters can be dangerous for others. If you're in a mobility chair, you have to figure out, how am I going to get around that? I may have to consider actually getting into the street to get around that scooter, and that's dangerous too. There's all sorts of consequences if we take these scooters, don't take them seriously. How are we going to do that? The number is 210-614-8980. This is a voicemail from Vicki.
Hi, this is Vicki. I was downtown earlier this week and regardless of what you think had changed with the scooters, they're still everywhere. And in light of the fact that we have been declared a handicap-friendly city in the last year, it seems to me that the fact that they're a problem for the handicapped community makes it even more important that we ban those things from our city.
All right, Vicki, thank you for that. Can we ban these scooters? Is that an option? John Jacks with the City of San Antonio.
It is an option. Really, as a city, what we're looking at are a balance of transportation opportunities. There is a use for them. People are using them. We've had over 2 million rides since they were introduced, so people are using them as a transportation option. So I really think it's a matter of trying to create a balance where we still have scooters but also are addressing all of the issues that come with them. It's within the authority of City Council to adopt ordinances to ban them should that be where we have to go eventually. But I think right now what we're looking at is a way to keep them but also address the issues that they come with.
And Deborah Sharvin, Accessibility Compliance Manager for the City of San Antonio Transportation and Capital Improvements Department, a Disability Access Office. Do you think this is just the learning process? We're going through this social learning now, how to live with scooters and we'll get there, or is it a problem that's just inherent to this technology?
I think it's a little bit of both. I talked a little bit earlier about how different startup companies are not including accessibility from the very beginning. And I think that's a culture issue that has to change within these companies, whether it's a technology company, whether it's a scooter company. And they need to understand what I call universal design, which is basically this concept of it has to benefit the entire community. We have to look at the whole community, and we have to include the whole community. I think there's some other issues because this scooter technology is new, and how we're using it as a society is so new that a lot of different things at the legislative level, at the state level, hasn't caught up. When you talk to the insurance agencies and the insurance company, they view someone riding a scooter as a pedestrian. You look at a pedestrian and they see someone riding a scooter as someone who's riding a transportation device.
A missile.
And so you have these conflicting views about how to even classify a scooter in a street and pedestrian environment. And that has to be clarified. And that usually is done more often at the state level. And so the state legislature really needs to understand these issues. And I personally believe to start looking at how to clarify so everybody's on the same page when we talk scooters. It means this, and this is how they're classified, and this is where they need to be, and to go from there, because every city that is going through this revolution is feeling the same growing pains. I don't know of a city that is not dealing with access issues for the disability community that has these dockless scooters or dockless e-bikes.
But San Antonio has a large disability community. It is mm-hmm. it is significant and mm-hmm. not to be diminished at all. And
no.
And we have to make sure that what we're doing now, and we could come up with a solution for other cities to model, mm-hmm. if we get it right here in San Antonio. But Athalie Malone, as you walk through the streets of San Antonio, downtown San Antonio, as someone who is visually impaired, would it be helpful for you if these scooters made more noise than they do now? I mean, they can do all sorts of things. They could put a little hum on these things.
In all honesty, with them being in the streets now, it's not that much of a problem. Because they're not on the sidewalk with us. If they were to go back on the sidewalks and stay there, yes, we would need some type of notification that they're coming up on us. Because clearly we can't see you, even from behind. A sighted person would know that they're coming because they're behind them. And it would give them opportunity to move out of their way.
And so, Melanie Coffin?
And that's just if the scooters in the street are following the traffic laws of the street, right? So when that sidewalk light changes and somebody's crossing the street and they have a visual impairment and a scooter doesn't stop for the red light, it's not going to be, I mean, a person who's blind or visually impaired is not going to see that scooter coming, and it's still a danger. So where it's not harmful to put some kind of a hum or a noise indicator on a scooter, it could be harmful not to. So I would say let's err on the side of caution and safety and go ahead and put those noise implements on the scooters, because not everybody...
I mean, even if you're totally sighted and capable, those things will sneak up on you.
They can, yes. Mm-hmm. And if people who are riding them are not following street traffic laws, because they transverse, you know, they just don't.
They're on a great adventure.
They are.
They're loving it, but, you know, they're not thinking about us. All right, let's go to the phones with Charles. Charles, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Davies, I love your show.
Thank you.
Really important topic. I'm a disabled vet. Thank you for your support. Thank you for a wonderful conversation. Look, I own my own scooter. I wear a helmet, safety vest. I've been ran off the road. I live downtown, and we really need the bike lanes. I can't always be on the street. The streets are not nice surfaces. And sometimes you have to be on the sidewalks. And I respect those that are impaired and disabled. And I know to slow down. You're absolutely right. The scooter should make a noise. I should get a horn. But I own my own scooter. And I'll take this off the air. But the city really needs to reconsider about this. Because I bought my scooter. It cost me about $1,000. And I really need y'all's support. Come on, folks.
All right, Charles, thank you for that. And I got a bunch of backed up callers, so I'm going to get Marcus on the air real quick. Hey, Marcus, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. So I just recently used the scooters in San Diego, and what I thought was really nice about it was, for one, my wife has some back problems, and so walking long distances would have been difficult for her. But on the scooter, we were able to get around, you know, fairly easily. And then when we wanted to park the scooter, within the app itself, I had to park it in a designated area. And until I did, I was getting charged usage time. And then when I did park it, I had to snap a photo of where I parked it. So that way they could verify, I guess, you know, for accountability, that I did go ahead and park it somewhere that was appropriate. And so until I did those things, I was getting charged usage time. So there was an incentive for me to get that done quickly and get it done properly.
Marcus, thank you for that. Thanks for calling in. So, John Jacks, that photo requirement is part of the app now.
It's something that some of the companies require of their users. That's one of the things that we're looking at as far as incentives or penalties. It could be used either way, right? So if you park it, if you take a picture of it, it's not parked correctly, then the company knows that you did that. Or if you do park it correctly, the company recognizes you as a good rider, and then maybe perhaps they would discount you on perhaps your next ride or something like that. He also mentioned designated areas. That's the geofencing capability that uses the GPS built into the scooters. That's used in more of a way to prevent riding or parking, for example, on the Riverwalk.
Or around the Alamo.
Right. It's not GPS, unfortunately, is not can't pinpoint close enough to actually create a parking space for them, but it's something that can be used in combination to prevent parking in areas you don't want them parked in. The photo is a good option, and some of the companies are using that, and that's something that we're looking at is just one of the ways that people can be incentivized to park correctly.
Okay, back to the phones with Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. If I parked my motorcycle on sidewalk, I would get a ticket. If I parked my rental car, I would get a ticket. The company, rental company, would make sure I was the one that got the ticket. Why don't we just enforce the law?
Okay, John Jacks, what's the ticketing situation like? I mean, we've got enforcement happening now. Are tickets being given?
Yes, tickets are being given. San Antonio Police Department enforces writing, so they're issuing citations for people who maybe are going the wrong way, running traffic signals, riding where they're not supposed to ride, like on the Riverwalk. And then as far as parking enforcement goes, the current ordinance does allow us the ability to impound vehicles and fine the companies in order for them to get them back.
Has that been happening?
It has happened. What we're seeing, though, is that vehicles are being either used again before there's a two-hour time limit the company has to correct a vehicle before that can occur. Really what we're seeing is it's much more efficient and it's a better use of our time if we have our employees actually just move the vehicle. One of our employees can move multiple vehicles in a shorter period of time as opposed to how long it takes to impound a vehicle. But again, as part of this RFP process, we're looking at ways to kind of fine-tune our enforcement. How can we put more responsibility on the companies to get them to correct these vehicles or fine them if needed?
Those downtown ambassadors with Centro San Antonio, you see them doing a great job of giving directions and cleaning up downtown. Do they also do that?
They were doing that. That was something that we kind of piloted with them to see if that would work. And so that's something that we'll look at going forward. Really after October, when we get the three companies narrowed down, we'll reengage with Centro to look at doing that again.
All right. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back, get some more callers and voicemails as we talk about e-scooters and San Antonio's disability community. We're workshopping, trying to come up with some ideas on how to make the city safe for everyone. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about scooters. They're all over downtown, and they actually are all over downtown because they're in the middle of the sidewalks and blocking curb cuts. That's not where they're supposed to be. That is a hazard for those in mobility chairs, the visually impaired, and other people who just are sick of looking at them in the wrong places. So give us a call. How do we fix this? How do we make sure we're doing this responsibly in a way so that we can have e-scooters, but we don't do it in a way that puts other people in jeopardy? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. And we got a voicemail from Tom.
This is Tom, and I heard a proposal that the police would pick up the scooters and impound them if they were left in the wrong place, and then the owning company could back charge the last scooter renter for $100 for the fees. And I think that's the perfect way to solve it. It makes the company responsible for getting their property back, and it also puts the pinch on the person's wallet that was inconsiderate enough to leave it in the wrong place.
All right, so John Jacks, we kind of already just covered that, and you're saying it's probably easier for the city to just move these things out of the way, right?
Not just us, but also the companies. A scooter could be in compliance, parking, not blocking something, and then a strong wind could come along and blow it over, and now it's blocking it, and that really isn't the fault of the last person who used it. So it would be challenging, I think, for the companies and the city to determine, was the scooter really parked incorrectly by the last user? Because someone can just pick it up and move it a few feet and make it a problem. But that's really the responsibility of the companies to try to make sure that their vehicles are not blocking pathways. But it's something that we can do as well as a city, using the permitted fees from this to hire people to go out there and correct these vehicles.
Right, and to that point, Eric is on the phone. Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Yeah, so I speak directly to this point. I think that as far as proving who parked the vehicle incorrectly, very easily these companies could add a section to their app that when you're done using the scooter, you take a photo of it as it's parked. But my main point would be that we can use the exact same methods that they use to make their system profitable and hire out or contact out any individual who wants to sign up online to become an impound specialist. And all of a sudden, there's a monetary incentive for folks to drive around downtown and grab any scooter as soon as it's parked incorrectly. Now, we would change the rules so that it's immediately, if it's parked incorrectly, it can get impounded, and then that will go directly back to the person who parked it incorrectly. All of a sudden, you have a fleet of people downtown ready to take those scooters off the streets, and then they're making money on the back end.
All right, but what do you think happens when you put a bounty on scooters that are parked in the wrong places? Suddenly, people are, you know, playing with that idea in order they can collect that bounty. It's all you leave. It's still sort of a, you know, people would cheat the system. They'll like, hey, this one was parked improperly, even though it really wasn't, just so they could get that 75 cents or what have you. So moving forward, Melanie Cawthon, what do you think ought to be done? What do you see as a way to do this responsibly?
Well, I think there are a lot of great ideas on the table, and I think our city is moving forward to implement many of them, from designated parking areas to looking at fees. And I think the conversation is really great. But as a community as a whole, I mean, I can't even tell you how many traffic lights that, obviously not in high traffic areas, but I stop, the light's red, I get out of the car, I move a scooter out of the curb cut, get back in my car and go, or even just pull over on the side of the road and make that difference. When I'm walking downtown, if I see a scooter laying down or if I see a scooter impeding access, I move it. And if we all just took some, one, common consideration when we're riding them, but two, if you see a scooter that's blocking the sidewalk, pick it up and move it. Let's make our community disability friendly, all working together for the greater good.
And what are some other solutions? So I'm wondering, you know, those scooters can do a lot of communicating to people. They have all sorts of messages that are put in there. If you try to move one without unlocking it, it'll start screaming for the police to come, and it'll. Why aren't they telling you? Why doesn't that scooter talk to you more and tell you to be a responsible user? Don't be a jerk. Park in a good location. Is that something that you think is doable, Deborah Sharvin?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's part of this RFP process that CCDO has been working on, and that will be coming with the three companies that do eventually get picked. One of our office roles is to help provide this technical assistance for any of these public awareness campaigns, or how can we do it differently. And so with our office, and then with our community, our Disability Access Advisory Committee, or the DAC, I expect us to be having conversations with the companies on what they can do for their public education campaigns. And I think developing things that can be done at the user when they're riding, when they're parking, as well as some larger campaigns conjunction with both CCDO and whatever companies come along are going to go a long way.
All right, I've got one more voicemail. This is from Helen.
Hello, this is Helen. Last year I was with my sister who was visiting, and we went up and down Broadway to different venues, and the scooters were an eyesore everywhere. They were left abandoned in the middle of the street or the curb, the lights on. I think San Antonio took on a little too many scooters to be able to handle them. So I feel it should be managed better. Seems like other cities have these items as part of their movement around downtown, but here it was just not thought through. I don't think so.
Okay. So, John Jacks, we are in the process of refining our scooter situation in San Antonio. A lot of cities have outright banned them. Other cities are like us and trying to figure out how to make this work, because there's a lot of advantages to having scooters in the community. People move around. It's quick. It's easy. It's green. It gets people out of cars. So there's a lot of benefits to having a scooter situation that works, right?
Yes, I think we did. Just the fact that we've seen over 2 million rides, we know that people are using them. It does offer, in some areas, a last-mile opportunity. So if you take the bus somewhere, the destination you're going to may be a mile or a little bit less than a mile away. And so it gives you an alternative, a fairly inexpensive alternative and an easy alternative to finish your ride. But again, it is that balance. We have to make sure that we're also protecting our sidewalks from not only just pedestrians, but people with disabilities who really need that that accessibility on our sidewalks.
Since we've banned these scooters from the sidewalks, how has that changed things?
So what council did was adopted a change or an amendment to the ordinance that prohibited riding on sidewalks. It's really getting to the message out that these are motorized vehicles, that these should be ridden just like any other motorized vehicle, whether it's a motorcycle or a moped or even a car. I think it makes it much easier for people to understand the rules for riding. Right now, that went into effect on July 1st, so it's only been about 2 weeks that we've had that. I think at this point, we've spent a lot of time educating the community, having different kind of PR campaign to get the message out that riding on sidewalks is prohibited, and the San Antonio Police Department is out there enforcing that code. So right now, they're issuing citations. We're kind of in a 30-day grace period. So we're issuing warnings, but at the end of the month, San Antonio Police Department will start issuing citations for riding on sidewalks.
Any talk of capping the speed with these things? Right now, they're about 15 miles an hour. They could go at 10 miles an hour just with a firmware update, and that's perfectly acceptable speed. Doesn't have to be so fast.
There is. We have talked about that in the past. It's something that we are recommending is a 15 mile per hour speed limit. There is some concern if you make it too slow, then it could. And if you're forcing them to ride in the street, now they're moving much slower than traffic. So there's a little bit of debate about that maximum speed limit. But we are looking at capping that at 15 miles per hour.
So, Athely Malone, help our listeners who still don't really. We didn't used to have handicap spaces and parking lots. You know, and we talked about putting handicap spaces out there. That was still kind of like people were like, some people were revolting against the idea. How dare you do this? And now it's a common thing, and everyone knows you don't park there. You have to be a really kind of a low person. You've got to be lower than a snake in a wagon wheel rut to park in a handicap spot. So we've got to get people to think that way about scooters. And so, Athely, can you help us make people understand it's so important to park these things responsibly?
Well, unfortunately, it is going to take time. You still have people that park in handicap spaces that are not handicapped. It is an unfortunate fact of life. All you can do is get the education out there about the scooters, about disability. One of the things I tell anybody, they ask questions or whatever, I said, if you want to know what it is that I go through, walk with me one day. Walk in my shoes one day, and you can understand. It becomes an understanding. And until people work with the disabled community, they are never going to understand what we go through. We are not looking for handouts. We are not looking for somebody to change everything for us. I do not believe that they should be banned. They are very good use for in San Antonio. But just work with us and learn to understand.
All right. Athely Malone is a co-chair of the city's Disability Access Advisory Committee, speaking as a private citizen, as an advocate for San Antonio's disabled community. Natalie Cawthorn was here with Disability SA, John Jacks with the Center City Development Operations for COSA, and also Deborah Sharvin is with the Disability Access Office with the city. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.